Hey, good morning. All right, it's Wednesday Q&A. And let me move this up. There we go. So I can see good. Let me get my screen fixed. Are y'all ready for some good, better, best? We're only watching one video today. And the reason why we're only watching one is because I feel like good, better, best is one of the toughest diet mentality topics that we have. Some of you might have fears around being hungry, and you might have fear around stopping at enough. But typically, what I normally see is that good, better, best brings up a lot of things you should and shouldn't eat. A lot of times, based upon what we're putting in our mouth. Like, if you think about the quality of food you put in your mouth at first, sometimes that's the avalanche for thoughts that are like, oh my God, I'm being bad. And it shuts down stopping at enough. Or if you're craving something that is what you would traditionally call not good enough, or I shouldn't be eating this, it will shut down waiting for hunger and questioning that. So I always feel like good, better, best is a key component of the four basics, because if we don't heal our relationship with all the food, and we don't kind of neutralize everything and kind of reset that, this is what happens. It's really easy to not listen to your hunger. It's really easy to not stop it enough because you felt like you fucked up. It's also really easy for a lot of you who get triggered by the foods that you're like, if I say, like, now look, we're going to put all the foods on our plans, we're going to start learning how to eat these things, you'll shut down planning because every time you plan, all you're thinking about is how I'm not good enough. This isn't good enough. I shouldn't be eating this. So all of that will make you feel what? Bad. It will make you feel broken or whatever. And then guess what? From there, we're like, well, I just won't plan. And I don't like feeling bad. It's like the plan's not making you fucking feel bad. It's your shitty relationship with food that makes you feel bad. The plan just brings that up for you. And the answer for all of you is not to stop doing things simply because whatever we're doing brings shit up for you. The answer is to address the shit so you don't have to feel bad anymore. Notice how that has a really positive outcome. All of this trying to avoid feeling bad shit, y'all are so hell-bent sometimes on avoiding feeling bad that you don't even realize how many times in life on your pursuit to not feel bad, you cut out things that are actually helpful. And when you cut out the helpful things, you don't even give yourself the opportunity to learn how to change the relationship with you and how you talk to yourself. So this is why good, better, best is one of those really important lessons. Okay, let me take a look at my notes before we get going. This is Basics Breakthrough Month. So we are going to watch one video today, the good, better, best. We're going to talk a lot about it. So I have some starter questions. Like, when do I change my good, better, best list or decide to level up? I have a few starter questions, but as you're watching the videos, here's what I would invite you to do. Go ahead and start putting them in the Q&A so that I will be able to hang on, let me get Coach Lizzie up, so that I can answer them as soon as the video is over. And then somebody's already put something to Q&A. I need to grab it. Off topic. Do the podcasts have transcripts we can download ourselves to read? Yes. So if you go to the website, Jackie, where all the videos are, the transcripts are on the videos. So every private member podcast that we drop, if you go to the website, we also drop the video there, the videos. The transcripts are with those. So there you go. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Let me get, all right. So I'm just going to tell everybody, I am no Coach MJ. I am not used to playing the video. So we are going to see how good Queenie is. The last time I led this call, Queenie messed it all up. So let me, y'all going to have to tell me in the chat. Once I get it going, if I've got the hell last time I played the wrong fucking videos. So, unsupported format. Please try a different one. All right, Lizzie, you need to tell the team. that I downloaded the exact video that I got a Dropbox link for, and it's given me unsupported videos. Y'all hang on a second. Let me see if I can dig out a supported video myself. I might actually be able to find shit all on my own. Who knows? Let's try the MP4 version. And we're going to, you know how I know if I'm going to play the right video? It'll be based on my hair. That's always the surefire way to know what decade are we in when it comes to Corinne. So I'm going to delete this one out. Move that heifer to trash. So let me go ahead and answer a couple of questions before we watch the video. Wow, because it's got to prepare to copy to my desktop. So it's going to take a minute to do it. All right. One of the most common questions that we get when it comes to good, better, best is, when do I change my good, better, best lists or decide to level up? This is the way that I did it when I was losing weight. So I didn't actually have lists. Looking back, I kind of wish I did. It would have made things a lot easier because I can see where, like, when I was losing weight, it kind of took me a little bit longer to lose weight because, like, I was having to figure so much stuff out that I now teach y'all the shortcuts. And so with good, better, best, what was happening for me is every day I would just get a sense in my body of, like, do I feel like I'm ready to level something up? Do I feel like I'm ready to kind of healthify something just a little bit? And if I felt like I'd like to try, like if I was like 51%, like I'd like to try it, I'd just try it. If I didn't feel ready, I was not ready. Like there's literally no like clear cut answer that all of us can abide by in order to do that. So I want you to think about, y'all, this is taking a while for some reason for this to copy. So Lizzie, tell my team that this is taking like, it's still trying to copy to my desktop because I can't play it unless it's copied to the desktop. All right. So you need to like really go by your gut. Now, here's the problem that's going to come up. You're going to not trust yourself. One of the things that you have to learn how to do to lose weight is you have to reestablish trust with yourself. So you might not trust this is the right time, but the biggest hack that I have, and if you watch some of my coaching calls recently, I will say to someone, okay, I want you to take a deep breath and just close your eyes. And like, and all of you can use this hack. So all of you right now, just play along with me. If you can, close your eyes. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just kind of play along. So we're all going to take a deep breath and I'm going to say a sentence and I want you to kind of be comfortable and I want you to pay attention to what happens in your body. So when I say, today, I think there's something I can do with my food that is a level up, or I can try something today with my food that's a little healthier than what I've been doing. I want you to pay attention to what happens in your body. Like, see if you can notice if you contract, if you open up, if you just feel kind of flat, if you notice like a tingling. Sometimes I feel tightness when I'm doing this exercise and other things. This is how I make a lot of decisions where it's like, I don't know. Is this the time or whatever? I check in with my body. Now, I want you to hear this statement. Take a deep breath. And today, I need to keep things the way they've been. And I want you to see what happens in your body. So commonly what we notice is one sentence is going to feel physically different. And here's why. When I say a sentence to all of you, you now just heard something in the world that your brain has to pay attention to. And your brain, even if it's like the words you hear is kind of confusing and stuff, somewhere in the back, there's a small part that is thinking yes or no, because your brain is very binary. It is always making decisions. You might not be able to hear it because of insecurity, doubts, needing it to be right. Those sentences are very loud, but that doesn't negate the way your brain works in a binary way. So if you feel in your body maybe like an opening, or it feels kind of relaxed when you say, today I can try something different. Like, let's say you're going to level up your cereal. Maybe you're going from Cookie Crisp to my favorite, the Fiber One. I know y'all like probably laugh every time I say I love Wheat Bran and Fiber One, but my great grandfather, God love him, he taught me how to eat it. And I've never liked anything else ever. I mean, I like some of the sugar cereals, but they're my favorites. I have a lot of nostalgia with them too. But if you feel an opening, that means your inner wisdom is saying, we're ready. I know you've got doubts and fears, but there's a part of us that's ready. And we want to listen to that part. If your body tightens up, doesn't like thinking about doing it, you're not ready. Your inner wisdom is saying, keep the course. Just keep moving forward the way we're doing it, because this is going to get us progress too. We're still normalizing our relationship with a lot of these foods. We're still making it okay to eat them when we're hungry. We're still making it okay to stop it enough. So I really believe that on the inside, deep into the recesses, your brain, who's binary, the way it sends you signals very often is through your body. And that's what we want to start really listening to. So Kim asked, what are the two sentences? They're like, I literally just made them up in my head, Kim. So like one sentence is, am I ready to level up today my food? Or am I ready to healthify some of my food choices? The other one is, do I want to keep eating the way I am? And then you just kind of listen to your body and you check in and you just go with the physical response. That builds trust with your body. That does not mean that you won't think it's not good enough. It won't mean that you'll be thinking like, oh my God, I can't lose weight. Like whatever your thoughts are, it doesn't stop default thinking. But what it does do is allow you to have something to combat default thinking, which is, my body has told me what to do, and I'm really working on my body telling me what to do, not my insecurities, not my fears, not my past diet conditioning, and not my diet mentality. I'm working on listening this way, because you won't have your body until the day you die. And the better we get to listening to it, the better the life we have. Okay. Somebody tell Jackie in the comments about, or in the chat, about what I said about the transcripts. Her husband walked in right as I was telling her. Okay, let's try to watch the video again. I think I am downloaded. Oh, it is not downloaded. It is sitting here staring at me. It acts like it's not there. Oops, sorry. I hit the button. Let me try one more time.
Corinne, if you would like, I can share my screen and show the video.
No, I figured out what's wrong. Hang on. Give me a second, y'all. I don't know why this screen keeps going all the way to the top. It's driving me crazy. Okay. Well, you may have to. My computer is acting. Hang on. Wait. All right. Let's try this. Y'all tell me what happens. I know y'all just love it when I'm over here just like a total bozo running my own membership.
It's time to talk about what food to put on your doable 24-hour plan. This lesson is important because it will free you from outdated diet rules so you can eat in a way that feels good for your body and the food lifestyle you want to live. We've been talking a lot about diet trauma, and guess what? That son of a bitch creeps in again when you're planning what to eat. After years of dieting, your brain is full of conflicting rules, fighting for attention with every bite you take. The diet industry often uses restrictive food lists in the name of good health to get us to buy products. They offer pills, shakes, and engineered foods with fancy labels like gluten-free, keto-friendly, non-GMO, and vegan on their fake-ass products while saying that a potato or fruit is unhealthy. I doubt one single person ever joined No BS because they just couldn't quit eating bananas or had a crazy baked potato episode. It's not your fault if you're worried you can't eat foods you love. You've been told over and over again that you're overweight because you eat the wrong things. And that sets you up for another diet trauma called good food, bad food mentality. Your brain makes a subconscious connection that if you eat foods that some diets say is bad, that it means you are bad when you eat it. And if you're bad, you feel bad or immoral. Same goes with eating the approved foods. You're being good or morally correct when you eat them. Y'all, food is not a morality issue. And I want you to know that you are a worthy, whole, and good person, even if you eat cookies because you have no other way to comfort yourself when you're tired. It breaks my heart to see women crying and full of shame simply because they've been taught that they're bad if they eat foods they love. Good, Better, Best is going to help you see all the foods you can eat while taking the morality out of the question. You aren't a better person if you eat carrots over chips. How you think about yourself defines your self-worth. What you put in your mouth can never do that. So there are no rules for what you can eat inside of No BS. My goal is to teach you how to feel in control, comfortable, and intentional around all the foods you want to include in your lifelong relationship with food. From ding-dongs to broccoli, I want you to think about food in a way that helps you plan for what you like to eat, what feels good in your body, and that honors the life you want to live. So let's talk about how to use No BS's Good, Better, Best method so you can unwind restrictive thinking around food and replace it with control and ease. Food has lots of purposes. Sometimes we eat for pure taste and joy. Other times we eat to fuel a big day at work. And other times we eat because we know it's good for us. You've got a worksheet in this lesson where you'll write down and categorize all the foods you like eating. This simple exercise will help you override a lot of your old food rules around what you should and shouldn't eat. In order to feel confident around food, you need to stop focusing on what you can't have and start thinking more about all the things you can. Now, before you start, let me warn you, doing this exercise does not mean you're suddenly never going to be afraid of food again. It means that when you are afraid, you have a way to calm yourself down. I suggest you come back to this lesson and listen to it as many times as needed to remind yourself that being afraid is a normal diet trauma response and that you have a new way to think about food. Now, there are four food categories and all foods fall into one of them. First is good foods. These are foods that taste good, and they ain't got no other job than to make your damn mouth happy. Some of my favorite good foods are nachos at a restaurant with, you know, melted shredded cheese, not that cheese queso shit, and all the fixings. White wine, hot-ass French fries with all the salt, and a blondie with vanilla ice cream. Second is better foods, and they are foods that taste good, but you've made them a little healthier than your good foods. You might hear members saying, "I leveled up my nachos today." That simply means you took a good food and made it a little healthier. Some of my favorite better foods are nachos made at home with baked chips instead of fried, baked French fries or chips, half wine and half club soda, or chocolate chips mixed with some peanut butter. And then there's the third category, which is your best foods. These are foods that taste good, they are vitamin and nutrient rich, and they make your body feel and perform well. For me, it's the foods that help me have good energy, awesome morning poops, glowing skin, and ache-free joints. Some of my favorite best foods are steak fajitas, baked potatoes, fruits, vegetables, yogurt, whole grains, and breads, or anything that ever had some eyes or came from the dirt. Now, there's a fourth category that we don't spend a lot of time on, and that is the bad foods. Guess what? Those are foods you are like the honey badger. You don't give a fuck about them, or you have a medical condition preventing you from eating them. You don't need to waste your time thinking about them or writing them down because these are the foods you don't like. The only foods that are bad are the ones you don't like. So now you might be thinking, Corinne, there is no way I can lose weight eating all of these foods. My list, it has got all the good foods on it. Guess what? That's normal in the beginning. When I first started losing weight, I barely had anything on my best list. Most of my early choices were the good foods. So I made sure to plan them, use the doable hunger, and get plenty of water and sleep. I lost weight doing that. As I started feeling better, I asked myself, what can I do that's a little bit better than yesterday? Sometimes that meant trying a new food or retrying one that at some point in my life, I didn't think I liked it. Other times that meant seeing if I could take a good food and just make it a little bit of a better food today. Over time, I noticed that a lot of my good foods, I started wanting them less and less because I was starting to enjoy lots of different foods. By allowing all the foods you love, you learn how to commit to your doable 24-hour plan. When you are following your plans, while committed to doable hunger, you start losing weight because your overeating starts to go way down. I promise that the more you allow yourself to plan foods you like, learn to eat when hungry, and stop when you've had enough, the more control you're going to find you have around food. You no longer need to overeat because your body isn't fearing you're going to take it all away again. The needing to take a break from your diet also goes away because you enjoy what you're doing. It's easy to plan weekends because you are eating foods you like and eating them with control. And in the moments when you want something not on your plan, you start developing a quiet confidence that you can say no for now and plan it for tomorrow. Something that's often misunderstood with the good, better, best method is people will think, great, Corinne just said I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want, and I'm going to lose weight. That is not what I am saying. You can plan anything you want to eat. And I mean anything you want from ding dongs to broccoli. But that doesn't mean you can eat anything you want whenever you want. You still must plan for it. You have to be hungry before you eat. And if you've had enough, bitch, we got to stop eating. And just because you love the taste of something doesn't mean it's always going to love you back. So I want you to start learning how to pay attention to how food feels in your body. I'm going to be honest. I love me some wine. I would drink 2 to 3 glasses every night if I could. But wine doesn't love me back. Just like brownies every afternoon after work might not love you back either. If you notice eating things you love also start causing you to be tired, give you a headache, crash in an hour, or you wake up the next day feeling sluggish, then that is going to be something you want to take into consideration. It doesn't mean you can't eat those things. It just means that you plan for it when you're also prepared to pay some food consequences. You're now going to have an open and honest relationship with food where you look at both sides of the story. You're going to eat things you love, but you're also going to pay attention to what's best for your overall well-being. Before you use our worksheet, I want to caution you on one more piece of potential diet drama. You'll start making amazing choices for yourself, eating and planning the food you want, and you may still feel restricted. Logically, you know you're getting enough food and what you want to eat, but you might still feel like shit about it. I want to tell you, this is so normal. This is the protective part of your brain that can't yet distinguish your old traumatic dieting from new ways of eating for weight loss. Your mind is thinking about your new eating plans in the old traumatic way. That's okay. All you need to do is remind yourself, this is my old diet brain talking, but everything is okay. I planned this food and I'm trying something new. It takes time to quit thinking like the old me. Okay, get out the good, better, best worksheet in this lesson. Complete it before watching another video. If you have any questions, feel free to post inside our Facebook group to get help from the community. You can also take any question you have to Ask Coaches. You'll find the link to Ask Coaches on the menu. Mark this lesson complete, and I'll see you in the next video.
Corinne, you're muted.
I am having a hard time getting my shit together today, y'all. I'm just saying, this is what happens when you start at 4 a.m. You have meetings before you even get to the first call. All right, let me figure out my, there we go. All right. So let me go over a few things that I think are important before I answer too many more questions. We had some comments in the chat. Some people were asking about clean food. That was a term that was very popularized. I believe it was in the early 2000s. Toscarino, she was the one that wrote the clean eating book. It really, the premise of it's good. Like, this is what I want all of you to understand. When we are talking about good, better, best, we don't want to villainize any foods. So there's a lot of people who like are like, oh my God, clean eating people. That's villainizing also over there. To me, the way that I like to think about it is I like to think there are processed foods and there are unprocessed foods. Like, I probably eat clean 80% of the time. And let me tell you what that means. 20% of the time, Corinne is a lazy motherfucker and does not wash something. It has nothing to do. Like, when I think about clean eating, it's more about, did I wash it or not? Like, it's, I don't like to think about things as being pure or whatever. So I always like to just think about, all right, there are the foods that are in the processed category. There are foods in the unprocessed category. Pretty much all the unprocessed foods. I wrote a blog about this years ago. I had this like golden rule back then. And we don't have the blog's not out anymore or anything, but essentially it said, if it came from the ground, had to be washed, was plucked from a tree, or at one point had eyeballs or breathed, this is called a go food. Because most of those foods for people are going to work unless you legit have a health condition. Like people who have a peanut allergy, it's a clean food. But we don't tell people with a peanut allergy that, well, you should be able to eat that. So like, we're looking for those things. Processed foods, one of the things I think that a lot of us don't realize is that so many of them are actually really good for us. They give us a lot of vitamins and minerals that we can't get other ways. Like my wheat bran, I love my wheat bran. It's a good fiber bomb. It's a processed food, but I love it. Also with processed foods, I think one of the things that we don't want to villainize it is because it makes a lot of foods with vitamins and minerals and different things in it accessible to many people. So we want to like think about like just how processed foods have allowed people all over the world in all kinds of countries and stuff survive, to be able to live, to be able to get foods in areas where they wouldn't normally be able to get foods. Now, we can argue all day long about chemicals and all this other stuff. If you are someone who is not down with that, then you're not struggling with good, better, best. Like if that's in you, that's not your issue. That's like a stance you take morally for yourself or physically for yourself. If you're like me, I drink this purple Hooter Shooter every single day. So does my husband. And I drink 3 bottles of it. It's got sweet. It's got like, I don't even know what it is. I don't think it's aspartame. It's like sucralose or whatever, but it's like a fake ass sugar. It's obviously got some food dye in it because it's purple. To me, that's processed. It's also got branched chain amino acids. It fills the gap on the days when I'm really busy and I can't get enough meat in me. Like, it's got electrolytes. I sweat like a whore when I work out. This helps me. So I think we all have to be thinking about, like, decide how you want to think about it. That's one of the big things. Also, when we talk about good, better, best, we have to, like, open up the conversation that food does not serve. Like, I think one of the most awful, awful, awful statements perpetuated by the fitness industry is food is fuel. No, it's not. That is a very limited way of looking at food. That's like saying sex is only for procreation. Well, when I was getting down this morning at 5 a.m., we weren't procreating. Like, the king was like a loving Corinne this morning. So we don't want to be very limited in our scope on how we describe things. Yes, at 5 a.m., that's when I started. I got up at 4, and by 5, I'm like, I cannot believe this is happening. Purple Hooter shooter. So we want to be thinking about expanding how we think about it. This is what I think. When it comes to food, food has a spectrum of needs that it fulfills, one of which is taste. It is very important that we appreciate our food should taste good. That doesn't mean, like I always say, not every meal's got to be that orgasm in your mouth. It just doesn't have to be. But we do not want, like, I want you to think about most of us. Lizzie, leave me some questions. I'm not going to have any to answer if you answer all of them. Leave me the good ones. One of the things I think that we forget about is that in life, we're busy. A lot of us have a lot of needs that we have to meet for other people and stuff. And our food and its taste and it being good is an important part of signaling to ourselves that we take care of ourselves. Food can provide taste and emotional pleasure. And it can fill some emotional needs, like that feeling of comfort. Where it goes wrong is when you only know how to comfort with food. It's your only source of comfort. It's the only source of pleasure. The rest of my life sucks. My internal conversation all sucks. And the only time I get a break from my inner bitch and I get a break from the world is when I eat. That's why I say, like, we don't want to cut all of that out. That's why it's important for a lot of you to do the good, better, best, to include some foods that you love in the beginning, because we've got to learn how to talk better to ourselves so that we are comforted internally. And then we can start deciding, like, do I need some of this? That is what happened for me with my ice cream at night. I remember, like, in the beginning, I was just trying to ratchet ice cream down because I knew I was not ever going to lose weight eating ice cream out of the carton until I was sick or reaching the bottom every night of my life while Chris was upstairs bathing Logan and putting him to bed. Was like, it just, I knew it. This was not going to happen. And so I was like, all right, let me start making some changes. So I started with quantities. Well, after a while, I started talking better to myself. I started making sure that every day there was a little bit of time for me that didn't include eating and that didn't include taking care of Chris and Logan. That's how I got into exercising. Like, I would go for my walks. And that was when I would have an opportunity to just, like, think about my thoughts and stuff. As I started, like, being proud of myself for, like, dragging my ass to the gym at night after Chris would get home and we would do dinner, I would go, and that's where I would do my walks. I would drive over there, drive back. And all I did was just get on the treadmill and do my little 15, 20 minute walks. I'd come home. And I was so proud of myself. And when I was walking in, I was usually ashamed, nervous, and thinking this isn't good enough. And then when I would finish, I would think, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. Like, you're being consistent. You're actually going, like, you're doing this. It's a lot easier to have better thoughts about yourself when you finish something than it is when you start something. Well, as I got better at talking to myself and encouraging myself and comforting myself, I still remember the day that I was like, I don't think I want that ice cream tonight. Because I had been eating it to give myself the only break that I was going to get during the day. To get away from feeling guilty that my husband would work a full day and I didn't have any more energy left to give anyone, much less myself at night. I was eating to comfort myself because not only did I feel guilty for not being able to keep going until like 9 o'clock at night when Logan would go down, but I also felt really bad that I was so overweight. I felt like a terrible wife. I had so many negative thoughts about myself. It is no wonder I needed to eat so much at night. And I didn't get breaks during the day. And so when I would start eating at night, it would feel like the floodgates would open. As somebody said in the questions earlier, I'd go ham. It wasn't because I couldn't control myself around food. It was because I lacked pleasure in my life. I lacked a good conversation with myself. I lacked a feeling of deservedness instead of guilt for letting Chris take over. And when I started feeling the true lack in me, then I had ice cream when it was really going to be enjoyed, when I actually wanted it, when it was going to feel like an experience, where it was giving me pleasure, it wasn't filling voids. And so for all of you, I want you to think about this. Food has a lot of need, like the spectrum of needs that it fills is taste, fuel. It does play an important part in your energy, in your ability to focus, your bowel habits. So it also fills physical needs. You know, like for me, I do have to eat my cereal a few times a week. Otherwise, I do not like being slow downtown. I like a nice, steady river just flowing all the time. I don't want to have a backed up dam one day. I have been terribly constipated 3 times in my life where I had to get an enema. And it would like get triggered by the like most ridiculous things. Never again. So fiber bombs happen in my house 3 times a week, whether I want to eat cereal or not. They fill emotional needs. When we are in the holidays, y'all, we're coming up on the holidays. Food is an important emotional component to the holidays. Like all of our Jewish friends just celebrated one. I was looking online, like my friend, Cara, she had a big 12-person dinner. So I don't know what it is about brisket, but she had to buy like basically all the brisket that New York City would offer. She kept talking about all the brisket that she was getting. But this is what we have to think about. That food is an emotional component of the holidays. We do not want to be going into our celebrations so fearful of the food that we don't, like, we're like, I'm supposed to be enjoying this. I'm not enjoying it at all because I got so much fear around all this food that we end up going fuck it mode to get away from our internal conversation. It's supposed to be fucking enjoy. God did not give us the food and for us to not enjoy it. There's too many fucking tasty things out there for us to not supposed to be enjoying it. All right. So I want you to think about those spectrum of needs. So your food is filling a lot. That's why when you're planning each day, it is so important for you to think about the day ahead of you. Some of you, like if you're in a stage of life right now where you don't know how to meet your emotional needs yet, plan foods that will help you feel emotionally cared for while you do your doable hunger, while you plan them, And while you start brainstorming, how can I start meeting my needs, my emotional needs in new ways and start trying some of that shit out? That's how you're going to lose weight. That's how you're going to repair the relationship with your food. That's where you're going to start seeing the problem is not the foods. It is very rare that I might have coached two people in the entire time of No BS where they were eating, you know, in quotes, so clean and stuff. Most of them, and not losing weight, almost every one of them, it still came down to doable hunger. It still came down to eating super healthy, but overeating because I am eating healthy. And then when they started actually putting some other foods in and kind of relaxed a little around it and really honored, now I don't feel like I need to like load up on my healthy foods because I'm actually getting some better tasting foods. I feel like I'm getting it frequently enough now where I don't overreact. They end up losing weight. So don't buy into the narrative of every diet out there trying to tell you to follow this food list and stuff. I promise you, the vast majority of them are just trying to sell you their plan. I ate chicken wings last night for dinner. Chicken wings, celery, and carrots. That was my dinner with a glass of red wine. It was our date night. Doing just fine today. And you know what? I didn't even eat all the chicken wings. You know why? Because I know I could eat chicken wings on any date night that I want. Now, Karen ain't going to cook them at home, but I didn't feel panicked. I just sat there and I just ate and I just enjoyed Chris. And when I felt like I was like, had enough, I'm like, all right, wrap that up. Okay. Let's see what questions we got. If y'all have questions, just pop them into Q&A. I struggle with the idea of bad foods because I'm trying to get my blood sugar under control. So sweets to me are bad. So I just want you to think of the way you're talking about it, Angie. Are sweets bad? No. How about we stop calling them bad? Because you're going to feel like when you think they're bad, you're going to feel like I can't have those. That leads to restriction. That leads to feeling terrible instead of your thought that you already have. Like you don't need all of the bad. You just need to like, all I'm doing is working on my blood sugar. My blood sugar right now is very important to me. Here's the foods I'm going to focus on. Here's the foods I'm just not eating right now while I work on my blood sugar. Do you notice how that conversation sounds like a little bit more calming and normalizing than like, well, these are the bad foods. I can't have them while I'm working on my blood sugar. That is definitely going to lead to restriction. Just remember, the feeling of restriction will always be caused by how you decide to think about what you're doing. Like, Angie, you're doing a great service to yourself. You're just like, my blood sugar needs to get under control. Here's what I am going to do. This is me choosing my health. These foods aren't bad. They're just not working with my blood sugar right now. And when I get my blood sugar under control, we can look at what we're going to do with these foods in the future. Who knows what I'll think of them once my blood sugar is under control. But that's what we got to do. We got to like cleanse. Like if you want to get clean, y'all clean your asses on thinking that foods are good or bad. How would you level up a chocolate bar? Probably half. Maybe just eat like a small one. Some people go to dark chocolate. I don't know. Ask in the chat. Like, how would y'all level up a chocolate bar? You might do like, you could do a protein bar. If you wanted to like try doing like some protein bars, just to like, I like protein bars. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do. It just depends on what your taste level is. Like, I just happen to like protein bars. In fact, I've ate protein bars for so long that I ate a real candy bar. It was probably 8 months ago or something. And because I haven't had one in so long, it was too much for my mouth. And this is a real thing that happens. Your tongue and like your mouth, especially your tongue, is a very malleable muscle and organ in your body that stays that way for a long time. And when you eat different things, your tongue starts adapting to them. Like its job is to always be autocorrect. And it's like the squiggly in typing. It's like, it's going to autocorrect. So like, if you like, let's say you eat a lot of processed foods. The first time you eat, like I remember when I switched to sweet potatoes, I swore up and down I hated sweet potatoes. Like I just wanted to vomit. Like I did not grow up eating sweet potatoes, tried a sweet potato in my 20s. I was like, and it had butter and cinnamon sugar all over it. And I was like, who eats this? Like, oh my God, I was an Outback. Well, after I started losing weight and I'd gotten where I was eating more like fruits and vegetables that I like and stuff. And I was eating more just like, you know, regular proteins and steak and things like that and salads and whatnot. I remember one day somebody telling me like, you should try a sweet potato. And I was like, oh no, I hate them. I think it was my best friend back in the day. And she's like, no, really? Like I eat one every day. I love them and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right. So I try it and I'm like, what is this juicy, sweet nectar from God? My tongue had changed. And that sweet potato didn't even have butter and sugar on it. It was like a fucking plain sweet potato. So my tongue had changed because I had taken so much processed stuff out that was extra sugar, extra salt and stuff, which makes like... In the food industry, one of the things that they do with certain, like a lot of the like chips and things like that, because I can still get down on chips, is they make them very palatable. The whole idea behind the engineering of it is to make sure that it like overstimulates certain areas of your tongue. And it makes it like, it's like a food that's supposed to just melt in your mouth because that will make you want to eat more. Because if you can eat, if it melts in your mouth, you eat faster, which means you'll consume more, which means you've got to buy more. So I just ate foods like that all my life. So when I first started trying fruits and vegetables, it was a rough go. But eventually I had, so for all of you who are doing, you know, good, better, best, when you first start, if you're a complete veggie hater or a complete fruit hater or whatever, start with only what you like. And it may be one thing. I had a girlfriend one time, she only liked green beans. It's the only vegetable she'd ever eat. She wouldn't eat lettuce. And she only liked strawberries. Like she wouldn't eat other fruits. She just thought a lot of the fruits were devil. And so for her, she ate those every single day so that she would at least get in green beans and strawberries. And then after a few weeks, she tried one vegetable that was kind of close. And her palate had changed just enough. And she ended up, she never did really like fruits and vegetables, but she got to where she could eat a smaller variety of them without like gagging. And she wanted to do it for her health, not because of any reason as other than she knew probably wasn't good for her to never eat fruits and vegetables her entire life. Okay. Can we speak to how the brain and body is affected by artificial sweeteners? I cannot speak to that. I'm not an expert on that. There's conflicting science all over the internet about it. I would suggest that if you're concerned about those things, then like I would go and read articles and make an informed decision for you. I have literally been doing artificial sweeteners my entire weight loss history. Lizzie, you're clearing the questions out a little fast. I can't see the rest of it. I've never had a problem. I follow Jordan Syed. He literally just did this 30-day challenge where he just ate every carb people are afraid of and ended up losing weight. And he did it for 30 days. It was the world, like if we wanted to call it a junk diet, he basically did a junk diet, but he's a calorie counter, but he just kind of showed, I ate junk for 30 days and I stayed within calories. Kind of like if we just ate junk for 30 days, and I'm saying junk with quotes, y'all, is the easy way to talk about it. if we actually followed doable hunger, that's why so many of you come in and be like, oh my God, like I'm eating the foods I love. I'm just not like eating them like somebody's fixing to steal them from me. Y'all quit eating in prison mode, which is like this. So he lost like, I didn't forget how much weight he ended up losing. The other thing is he did a video not too long ago on artificial sweeteners. There's just so much science out there that says it does not have all the effects that they say it should. Now, that is not to say there's not tons of science out there that says it does. This is where y'all have to decide for yourself. Corinne has decided she likes Splenda and her purple Hooters. Like, I'm all in. It's fine with me. But I'm not going to tell you that's a right choice for you. This is where you have to trust your body, what you want for you. And if you read about it and you agree with it, then just do that. But don't tell yourself, I can't have this or blah, blah, blah. Always remember, you are just making decisions for yourself, and use the word for yourself. Not I'm making decisions because I have to, or because so-and-so said or whatever. Say, this is a decision I make for me. I choose to do this. And just like your reasons, that's all. Let's go back. I catch myself eating for comfort or to distract me from feeling bad. Any advice for what to do in that moment? Watch module 2. Make sure you have really watched module 2 of No BS and module 3. And then in Pathways, I'd go through the urges course. So I would make sure that you watch the urges, because if you are, hang on, I can't see the question again. I go back to them, Lizzie. Just don't clear it out until I quit talking about them. One of the things that I would do is not so much like I catch myself eating for comfort or to distract myself from feeling bad. Stop eating when you catch yourself and just be real honest with yourself. I'm needing comfort right now. This is not comforting me in the way that I want to long term. Because here's the truth. When you do eat in the moment, it probably is comforting. But here's why it's comforting you. Because you stop thinking about why you're not comforted. You stop thinking about why you feel bad. And that's going to feel comforting over those feelings. But it's not how you want to comfort yourself long term. Because if every time you feel bad and every time you are needing some comfort, we want to try a different way to do that, because otherwise, you've got to set your life up to never feel bad if you ever want to lose weight. So I would just ask myself, this is the work I would be doing in my journal in the morning. So this is one of the things that we're going to be working a lot with at the No BS Shrink It, Write It, Think It, Write It, Shrink It camp. The big camp we're having in November is one of the things that we want to do when it comes to journaling is not sit there and do a deep dive into the shit of our life. I think a lot of you, number one, think that journaling takes forever. I'm going to read you something. So I did my Peloton bike the other day. Oops, hang on. I almost kicked up NSYNC. Y'all know NSYNC's dropping a new album September 28th. Hello, 90s kids. Like, I'm just like, can't wait. Let me find it. So journaling, to me, takes about 5 minutes in the morning to kind of write down what it is I most need for the day. If y'all were going to do anything, I would swear to God, for those of you who are just like, ooh, like y'all play, you know, throwing holy water on your journal as if it's going, like it's, you know, like the vampire that's going to kill you. Your journal is the judgmental best friend of your life, or the judgment-free best friend of your life. That's why I like to think about my journal. My journal don't judge me. My journal lets me talk about my shit. My journal lets me dream wild-ass crap that I'm probably not telling nobody else. My journal will let me bitch. My journal will let me talk all the nice things about me that I'm afraid to tell the rest of the world. It will let me talk about all the things that I, you know, I wouldn't want so-and-so to hear. And it's just like, girl, tell me more. Woo! You got a lot going on. It's like my friend. So I'm like doing my Peloton ride, and Alex Toussaint, he says, are you willing to sacrifice 5 minutes in the morning to set yourself up for success the rest of the day? I don't think y'all think about that. I think y'all just be thinking about like horse shit all the time. It's like, for you, Lisa, in the mornings, spend 5 minutes thinking about what are ways I can start comforting myself that I might be missing? Because what I'm working on, you want to train your brain to work on solving the problem of something super simple, which is, please brainstorm for me ways outside of eating that I could comfort myself in my words throughout the day. Where are all of the 5 second moments I miss during the day when my brain is like judging me? Am I hearing it? So I can tell myself it's okay. Sometimes we just think some shit, moving on. Like that's not as near as big deal as you're letting it, like if you catch yourself spiraling, what can you do during the day when you're like, oh, I wonder, I'm all worried, but Brenda over there is thinking about me in cubicle number 4. She looked like she gave me side eye. I bet my email wasn't worded perfectly. Whatever that bullshit is that you do to yourself, if you catch yourself in the Brenda toilet in your cubicle, guess what you need to do? This is one of those micro moments to comfort myself so I don't need so much comforting at night. So journal on in that 5 minutes to set yourself up for success. Where are those? Then do that for a while. Then start like journaling on like, what can I be doing for myself when I feel bad? When something upsets me, can I put my hand over my heart and tell myself it's okay to be upset instead of judging myself for being upset or thinking it's never going to end? Can I tell myself it's okay to be upset? We don't have to eat over this today. Just remember that tonight when you go home. I know you're upset right now. Let's remember tonight, we're going to take care of ourselves in the best way without food. So journaling on some of that stuff. I think I've really leveled up my ability to honor doable hunger, but simultaneously I did include more fast foods and high sugar foods. Now I'm at the point where I do still want fast food and high sugar foods, but less. Good. That's exactly what we want. We want to have your high sugar foods. We want to have our fast food when we're really going to enjoy it. Not because we don't know how to eat anything else in life. I'm at a higher stress level now. Like this is like one of those things. I'm at a higher stress level in my life right now, but I don't want to wait till things are easier to start leveling up my food choices. How can I make this easy on myself? Then this is what I would do. Number one, make smaller choices. Remember, 1% is not a big change. So what can you change? I think the second thing is like, can you take 5 minutes during the day and instead of just deciding I'm in a high stress time of my life, say like, what is so stressful in my life? And is there a way that I can think about something a little differently to take the temperature down? Is there something I can do during this stressful time that doesn't involve fast food to help me de-stress, to help me take my own temperature down? Brainstorm some stuff. What is the purple hooter? It's Extend, X-T-E-N-D. It's on my faves page. If you go to the membership site and look at our, like, Corinne's favorite stuff over there, and it's the grape flavor. I got 1 minute left. After a binge, my body freaks out, major gastro issues, pain, heartburn. I know that best foods feel best in my body, so I end up, all right. So I end up wanting to go back to those for recovery, but that feels like punishment, and often I end up mini binging again the next night. Leah, I think the biggest problem that you think is best foods are going to help me recover instead of the binge. It's the quantity you're eating. It's not the foods. I promise you, Lee, I did this one time. I ate, this was when I was bodybuilding. for competitions. And I'm going to tell you, we get raw hungry during that shit. And we would have like, where we could have like, you know, like a, basically they called it a cheat meal and stuff. And this one day I was like, okay, I'm like starting, this is my cheat day. That morning I started with a box, and I'm not talking a little box. I'm talking a box, a fiber one. I'm just going to tell you right now, I was in gastro distress for two days. There was no more eating for the rest of the day. It was not because Corinne ate that. If I made you sit down to bowls and bowls of salad and steaks and celery sticks and all the things, and you had to eat the quantity of regular food, like unprocessed food, you'd still feel like ass. So you don't need to just like, you don't need to be thinking about it that way. The next, what I would do is like, I would just tell myself, I've had a binge. Just going to get back to planning foods. And I'm going to plan foods I like, because I refuse to punish myself over this. Because right now you're trying to use like healthier foods as a, like, this is how I should be eating. Now, if it truly feels better to eat those foods, you need to just tell yourself, calm down, nervous system. This is not a punishment. I actually prefer these foods. My stomach is hurting. I'm going to need these foods. And you need to talk to yourself about it that way. Okay. Everything for the day. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you on Sunday for some coaching. And it's going to be a special one. So check your email, because we're doing something a little different on Sunday. But I will let you read your emails to find out what that's about. All right. Bye, y'all.